Hey there, thank you so much for listening to our Big Time Talker podcast. I'm Burke Allen, live in our studios in Washington, D.C. Our guest today is award-winning author Roni Rosenthal, and the show is brought to you by SpeakerMatch. SpeakerMatch.com is the world's largest online virtual speakers bureau. If you're a speaker, or maybe you're a meeting planner and you need a speaker, you both should check out SpeakerMatch.com. We have new episodes of the Big Time Talker every Tuesday, and they're posted wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple iTunes, iHeartMedia. So subscribe and get a new show each and every week. Roni Rosenthal, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for having me.
The book is called Where the Lilacs Bloom Once Again, and it's a reader's favorite award winner. Tell us what the book is about. It's a true story.
It is a true story. So the story is about Fridi, my grandmother's cousin. She was born in Romania in 1919. When she was 18 years old only, she fell in love with a charming guy named Freddy. And against her family's wish, she decided that she's going to marry him. Shortly, however, after the wedding, just a couple of weeks after the wedding, the new groom, Freddy, disappeared, and Fridi was arrested, and she spent the next 9 years in Romanian prison being tortured. And after that, followed by four years in a Romanian labor camp that was in 1940 during World War II. Only in prison, however, she realized, once she was tortured, of course, she realized that her new husband was actually a spy sent by the British network, because Romania during World War II was collaborating with Nazi Germany. So only in prison she realized that he was a spy. She knew nothing about him. She, of course, was innocent. And a couple of weeks before he realized that he's going to be captured, he ran away and left her to be his cover story and take all the blame. This is a true story. It took me about 10 years to do the research and then a couple of more years to write her story.
So in the interest of full disclosure, I should tell the folks who are listening to our Big Time Talker podcast, you and I met at the Reader's Favorite Awards in Miami, and you told me about this story, and I just thought it was an amazing story. And you know, because it's your life, you're like, oh, well, there's this thing, and it happened to, you know, this person in my family. And as you told me the story, I was blown away, and I think I told you, this is cinematic. This sounds like a movie, but it really is a true story. And one of the things that I found most fascinating is how you found out about most of this information. So share that with our listeners.
Absolutely. So my story begins in December 2009 when my father passed away. I went back home for the funeral. And after the funeral, I walked into my father's room. And on his desk, I found three things. I found the family album. With all the photos from the family, we called it always the family from Romania, because we heard about them, but I didn't really have any connection to them, almost any. And then I found the family tree that my father wrote in his own handwriting. And on top of that, my father left a note. And the note said, write their story. Tell the world what really happened to them. So I came back here and I started the research. Now, I'm a professor at the University of Maryland, and one of the things I kind of know how to do is conduct the research. But this time it was a little bit different. This time it was my own family research. So I started researching. I reached out to institutions in Romania and archives and many, many places, and I was able to find original documents that really documented Fridi's story. But there was one more thing that I found in my parents' house, which was, I call it a treasure box. It was a box with all the letters. So Fridi and my grandmothers were cousins, and they corresponded. They sent letters and postcards to each other over a period of almost 25 years. And in this treasure box, I found all those postcards from Fridi with the letters that actually Fridi is telling in her own voice, in her own words, her story, what really happened to her. Yes, it was. I don't know how to say it, but all of a sudden it made much more sense to me that I have to reveal her story. I have to tell the world what happened to her. It was my calling, my something I had to do.
How much, when you were writing the story of Freddie, did you have to sort of fill in the blanks? Because there are real historical events here, and it is a true story, but you couldn't know everything. So how much did you have to fill in, and how did you make those decisions?
Excellent, excellent question. So, of course, everything is based on the research, right? I wanted to bring in the events that happened in Romania during World War II, before and after, of course. I wanted to bring in all the real facts. Of course, the story is real. Everything I took from Fridi's postcards, her letters, everything is based on what really happened to her. I took kind of the creative liberty to make it more into a novel than just to write it as a memoir. But everything is real except maybe the dialogues. You know, I haven't been there, so I had to create dialogues. But everything is real. I'll give you an example. I had
Okay.
an argument back and forth with my editor about Freddie's mother. And there is one episode there that Freddie is released from prison and from the labor camp, and she reunites with her mother. But the mother, when Freddie was taken away, the mother sank into depression and she wasn't able to speak anymore. And my editor told me, listen, how about we give them a chance to reunite and try to know one another all over again? But the mother passed away before they had a chance in real life to do that. And I insisted that I go by what really happened in real life. I didn't write it. Someone decided for me that the mother is not going to have this chance to reunite with Freddie with her own daughter. So I just had to bring in the fact as it happened, the story as it happened, and as it happened in real life. I didn't want to change any of the events that happened to the family.
We're talking about the book Where the Lilacs Bloom Once Again, Freddie's story. The author is Roni Rosenthal. This is a true story about real historical events of her family in Romania around the time of World War II under that dictator regime that had been part of Romania for many years. And I guess, as you said, you were compelled to tell this story and wrote the book, I guess, to give people who weren't able to speak for themselves, a voice.
Exactly. So after World War II, Romania was under communist regime for over 50 years until 1990s, when they finally had, until 1989, but in 1990s, they finally had the first opportunity to have democratic elections all over again after 50 years. During those 50 years, those people who, like Freddie, who lived under World War II, all of them had to hide their stories. They were not allowed to tell anybody their stories. Those stories had to be hidden. I'll give you another example. When I did the research, I interviewed my father's aunt. She's still alive. She's 103 years old today.
Wow.
And I went to interview her. And she lives in Israel, in a place in Tel Aviv, you know, very modern place. And she's a nursing home. Everything is fine with her. And I sat down and I recorded the interview with her. And I asked her, can you tell me your story? What happened? What do you remember during those years? And she kept looking around to see if anybody can hear her. The fear was already so much embedded into those people. Being, you know, they could be executed for just saying just one wrong sentence, just telling one story that they are not allowed to say. Over those years, she was so terrified. She told me the stories, but she kept looking around to see if anybody can hear her, if something is going to happen to her.
After
So
all those years,
after,
amazing.
yes, after all those years, yes.
So, I want to talk about something that's sort of a sensitive topic, Roni, and that is anti-Semitism. And there certainly is a rise of that worldwide. And I wonder how much, with your background and your Jewish family's background in Romania, how much that played into your desire to get this story out into the world. Were you apprehensive, or did you feel like this is the time to tell this story?
Exactly. I first of all, I had to get the story out, you know, but because of the rise of anti-Semitism, and I'm on campus, so I see it almost every day. the rise, the feeling, the fear of everything that happened. Many times when I do a book talk and I talk about Fridi and I share her story, and she wrote poems. So when Fridi was in prison for 9 years and then the 4 years in a labor camp, she wrote hundreds of poems. And in her poems, you can feel the fear. The only reason, so when we found the document, the original document for Fridi being imprisoned, one of the reason, or the only reason actually, the big one that they wrote on those official documents were because she is a Jew. That's the only reason they kept her in prison. With the rise of anti-Semitism and with the Fridi story, so Fridi shares a lot about her fear, but in one of her poems, she says, I am not going to let them, they took away my past. I'm not going to let them win my future. Even by thinking about what happened to me, why did it happen to me? Just because I am a Jew, and of course it's not fair. Fridi kept believing in kindness, in justice, in resilience. And in her poems, you see it so clearly. She said, I know what happened to me. At the Holocaust, you know, the anti-Semitism, all the laws that against us, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep fighting anti-Semitism. I'm going to keep believing in justice, in human, in kindness. All those things happen. This is much more important than keeping her own voice, you know, being afraid or frightened. Her poems are so powerful. In this book, The Lilacs, I only included one of her poems, but hopefully in the next book, I'm going to write and have much more of her poems, hopefully coming out soon.
Isn't it amazing how art can get out into the world despite the harshest of circumstances? What can you tell me about what you learned about how bad, I can't even imagine, Romanian prisons were during wartime? What did you learn about, if you can paint a picture with your words of what those conditions were like for her?
It was terrible. She described it in her own words. She said that while she was in prison for 9 years, the conditions were horrible. She was afraid. She didn't know if she's going to survive to make it the next day. The food was, of course, terrible. One of the examples that she brings in her postcard, in her writing, she said that they had to hunt for bugs and mice so they can have some protein. After 9 years in prison, the prison was underground, so she didn't see any sunlight. When she was released from prison and transferred into the labor camp, that was after 9 years that she didn't see any sunlight. She described it in her postcard that after 9 years being underground, she finally saw for the first time after 9 years the sunlight. Her eyes were burning. She started crying from pain after 9 years in this horrible, terrible. No one can imagine those conditions. She was afraid, but she believed that she's going to survive. She believed that it's going to happen for her. And the good story is that when she was in the labor camp, behind the stone wall, she actually met Mircea, who is going to be her next husband. She fell in love with him without seeing him in the worst place possible in a labor camp. And they both survived. And it's a happy story. They both survived. They got married right after, you know, her release. They had to flee to Switzerland to save themselves. But they both remained optimistic. He became a librarian in Switzerland. He worked at the library, reading stories to children. You know, literature was his dream always. His mother was a writer as well. But they kept believing that life is great. Life is a place, you know, you want to fulfill your ambitions. You can do that. You have a place to do that. They believed in resilience. Some of the postcards in this treasure box are from Mircea himself. And he also had a terrible story, a background life. You know, he was arrested for 10 years for resistance to the communist regime. That's all he did. And still, they both believed in the world. They never stopped believing.
How old was Fridi when she was imprisoned, and how old when she was released?
So Frida was in prison when she was 21 years old, right after her wedding, unfortunately. And she was released after 14 years. So
Unbelievable.
35. And in the book, I'm including some of her pictures, of course, and miniatures.
So you found all this information about this incredible legacy after your father passed away in his desk, this family photo album and handwritten family tree. Did he ever talk to you about what he had learned, or was this all a big surprise to you? I mean, did you have any inkling that any of this had gone on?
So in 1998, about a month before I got married, my father took me to Romania. And during our trip in Romania, we went in through Bucharest streets. He showed me his own house where he was born and grew up. And he told me the stories of Frida. So though I have heard the stories before this trip to Romania, that was the first time I actually saw the places. I knew where Frida lived. I knew where her parents lived. I could see it. I met Frida when I was 8 years old. That was the only time she came to visit us in Israel. And I'll tell you what I remember from this visit. She had a beautiful smile. Her eyes were shining. Her hair was long, so pretty. She was really pretty, like a gorgeous, actress. And I remember her laugh. She had a beautiful laugh. And I remember a happy family dinner. But what I also remember, in the middle of the night, Frida woke up screaming from nightmares. She had those nightmares she took with her forever. I remember my parents going to her bedside, my mom giving her water. She had pills, of course. My dad handed her the pills, to swallow. And they calmed her down. So it took about, I don't know, I was a kid, but it took, I guess, a half an hour or maybe an hour for her to calm down and go back to sleep. And I also saw the scars. So her hands were full and her arms were full of scars. She tried to hide them. She had scars all over, she had big long jackets in the middle of the winter, in the middle of the summer. So she tried to hide the scars. But her eyes were shining, and I remember her smiling face. It never faded, except during the night, she still carried her nightmares.
The book is a reader's favorite award winner. It's called Where the Lilacs Bloom Once Again. It is Frida's story. Roni Rosenthal is the author. I would be remiss if I didn't ask how your family, your extended family, is doing in the midst of this terrible war that's happening in the Middle East right now. Is everyone okay?
So, yes, my family, my immediate close family is okay. They're in Haifa. I'll share a story that I was there when everything happened, October 7th. We had about an hour and a half that we had to hide, my kids and I in a locked room in a shelter. It was the most horrifying hour and a half of my life. Although life try to be normal, it's still very, very hard. But my family, my immediate families are okay, heartbroken, but okay.
Well,
Thank you.
there's a blessing in that, and I'm glad you're okay, and we wish everyone all the best. If folks are interested in the book and they want to learn more about Where the Lilacs Bloom Once Again, where can they find the book?
So the book is available everywhere now on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, online, in stores. I saw it everywhere. So you just Google Where the Lilacs Bloom Once Again, Frida's story, and you can get a copy, Kindle, ebooks, and all of those as well.
Where the Lilacs Bloom Once Again, Frida's story, based on a true story and real historical events of author Roni Rosenthal's Jewish family in Romania during World War II under the fascist regime there, that have been part of Romania for many, many years. Roni says she wrote the book to tell their stories and to give the silent stories a voice. Roni Rosenthal, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
This is the Big Time Talker podcast. We're live in Washington, D.C. New episodes every Tuesday, thanks to our show sponsor, SpeakerMatch.com. I'm Burke Allen. Thank you so much for listening. Now go out and make it a great day. Bye, everybody.